from both the gospel and the first reading, we hear this great Shema, this very foundational prayer for the Jewish people. Shema is the word hear, listen. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is one. You know, when Moses was writing the book of Deuteronomy, it's the fifth book of that Pentateuch, those first five books. It's his last will and testament. It's a great summary of everything that has been written. It's an exhortation for the people to continue to live according to the law that God had given them. For Moses knew that he was not going to make it into the promised land. He had received the law, but because of certain things God had told him, he was not going to be able to make it to the promised land. So he's writing to his children, his followers, about what it means to be a faithful son, a faithful daughter of the one God. Because of the slavery, because of sin that the Israelite people found themselves in, they were having to be constantly reminded of who God is. They were intersprinkled among the pagan people who had a plethora of gods. They believed in a multitude of gods. A God for the harvest, a God for the rain, a God for this, a God for that. God was constantly having to remind his people that there is only one God. And as that reading from Deuteronomy continues, Moses tells these parents to inculcate this teaching into your children. To inculcate, maybe that kind of drill. Make sure this is in the very heart, the foundation of your children, that there is one God, and him alone we serve. At least twice a day, the Jewish people prayed that prayer as a reminder to themselves that they were serving one God. In the midst of all the other gods that their people that they were in were serving, they had one God. So it's telling that Jesus chooses that one commandment to be the foundation, the greatest commandment. And it's a reminder that I think we need today. Because much like the Jewish people from the Old Testament, the chosen ones, we are living in a world that is surrounded by a duplicity of gods. We too need to be reminded daily that we have one God that we serve, one God that we love with our whole heart, mind, strength, soul. Everything about us is made to serve the one God. We have gods of money, gods of education, gods of entertainment, gods of self-worth, gods of whatever. So many things compete for our attention and our devotion. We may not have an idol, a physical statue constructed in our homes that we bow down and worship. But does God have your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength, and all your whole soul? Think about the decision you've made today, this weekend, this past week. If you haven't voted already, or if you have voted already, was God, loving and serving God, the foundation for the choices that you made? When you went to the grocery store, your interactions with the people that you came across, your interaction with the people at your work, how you speak to your spouse and to your children, is God first in your life? And in turn, do you love your neighbor with that same love? Each one of us is created in the image and likeness of God. So if God deserves my whole heart, strength, soul, and mind, then those who are created in his image deserve the same as well. This is why Jesus can connect the two. The neighbor who aggravates you because they don't cut the grass. The neighbor at work who gossips all the time. The neighbor at work who doesn't do their job. Your spouse who ran out on you, who cheated on you. Your children who have left the faith. The unborn baby in the womb. The migrant looking for a new home. Do we love them with the same love that God deserves? This is what God is calling us today, to examine ourselves. These first principles, these foundation of everything. Let us take a look at our calendar and our bank statements, our social media and our emails. Is God first in my life? If we don't get this right, nothing else matters. Now, we're in this month of November where the church asks us to reflect on the four last things: heaven, hell, death, and judgment. As we come to the end of the liturgical year, Mother Church asks us to reflect on the end of our physical life. St. John of the Cross says, in the twilight of our life, in the day that we die, we will be judged on love alone. Did I love? St. Augustine, the patron of our diocese, says, love God and do what you will. Because if we love God with our whole mind, strength, soul, if everything about me is devoted to God, then I can do what I will, because my will is in complete conformity with God's. And I will do nothing but His will. This month of November, we also pray for the dead. One of the most important things that we can do as Catholics is to pray for the dead. Our loved ones and those who have no one to pray for them. This corporal work of mercy. To love someone is to want the best for them. The best that we could ever get is to be in heaven. And so through our prayers for our beloved dead, we help them get there. We help them to finish their time in purgatory, whatever the best way to describe our experience of purgatory is going to be. Our prayers, our intercession help them to achieve that final end. And so we have this box on the altar of all the names of all of our friends and families and loved ones that we've been writing in. During the prayers of the faithful, we're going to have a roll call of all of our parishioners who died this past year and were buried from this parish. Mother Church asks us to examine our heart, and are we truly loving someone? So if we really love someone, and if the best we want for someone is to go to heaven, when was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? We share stock tips, we share all these other things. We share our experiences from the football games, our experiences from work. Do we share the most important thing in the world? That Jesus loves you, and Jesus died for you, and Jesus founded a church with the sacraments so that you can go to heaven. When we encounter people who are lost, is that the first thing that we think about? Let me love this person enough to tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. This is what God's asking of us today. But we first must love God ourselves. We first must fall in love with God. Have you fallen in love with God? Nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love in a quite absolute and final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything.